Christmas, everyone. Can you make sure that you get to greet the people around you a warm Merry Christmas for a while? Come on. All right. Merry Christmas once again. Woman, you're glad that, you know, Jesus was born thousands of years ago. Amen. All right, this is our Christmas service. We want to welcome all of you here. This is not our regular one. Now, as we are having our Christmas service here this evening, it's Christmas Eve, and first and foremost, my wife and I would want to greet everyone a Merry Christmas. I hope you're going to have, or you have been having a great holiday celebration so far. We're enjoying the holiday so far. Come on now. Okay. Who among you have Noche Buena later? You have Noche Buena later. All right. Okay, we are on the fourth installment of our series called Hark, and we are actually concluding the series this afternoon. You know, tomorrow is Christmas Day, and there's no better way to conclude this series than to look at the last characters, okay, that we have been looking into here this afternoon, which basically the shepherds. Okay, so far, we have looked into the story of Zechariah, of Joseph and Mary, and so this afternoon, as we wrap up this series, we're going to look at the story of the shepherds, okay? Now, if you were invited here for the first time, first and foremost, we want to welcome you here in Victory Dumaguete. We want to greet you a Merry Christmas as well. And just for your benefit, we have been having this series called Hark. And for your information, Hark simply means to pay close attention, all right? To pay close attention. And this afternoon, we're going to read from Luke chapter 2. We're going to start from verse 8 down to verse 20. It says here, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, shepherds. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." Verse 18, "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." Last verse, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." You know, if you're familiar with the book of Luke, and, you know, that is what we have been looking into the past how many weeks. Just to give us a brief background, I know we're about to conclude this, but, you know, the book of Luke, it's as precise as the one who wrote it. Okay, if you read the book of Luke, you would come to understand that, you know what, if you compare it to the other Gospels, it's actually a very precise one. And that is because of the writer who basically wrote the book of Luke, which is Luke himself. Now, the reason why Luke, you know, made a research or interviews and wrote the book of Luke is because of this man right here called Theophilus. All right, Theophilus was a wealthy man. He was an influential man, just like the person seated right next to you. All right, he was an influential man, a good-looking man, for that matter. And the thing with Theophilus was, like many of us before, Theophilus has been hearing about Jesus Christ, and this guy right here was like a borderline Christian. Meaning to say, he got so curious as to who this Jesus is. This man right here came in post-resurrection. Meaning to say, he didn't get to have a personal interface with the Lord Jesus Christ. He got to hear so many great things
about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, what he did was, he commissioned a doctor to basically make a research, interviews, and studies. And that is basically the book of Luke right here. And you know, it's really fascinating to think that if you look at the story of Jesus Christ based on the Gospel of Luke, there are so many details that has been mentioned there. And that is what we endeavor to look into here this very afternoon. I want to start this off by referring to the proposition of Christmas for a while. Okay, based on what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says here, when the fullness of time had come, can everybody say this with me for a while? When the fullness of time had come. All right? In the fullness of time, that is when God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, born under the law. So the question begs to be answered, what in the world is the fullness of time? You know, Jesus could have been born in the middle of the 400 silent years. All right, he could have been born in the middle of it in the 200th year. But you know, why is it that, you know what, it took a while for Jesus to basically be born in a manger in Bethlehem? If you look at the fullness of time right there, if you would look at it in a historical perspective, you would come to understand that during this time when Jesus was born, there was already what we call the Pax Romana. It's called the Roman peace, meaning to say there was one empire under Rome, meaning to say there's one government, one ruling party over the Jewish people. Not just that, okay, during the time when Jesus was born, thousands of years ago, there was also just one language, and that was Greek. It's a different Greek from the Greek nowadays, all right? Not just that, another aspect into that is there has been a strong desire, okay, among the Jewish people for the unfulfilled promises and prophecies that point to the Messiah. When all of these things were already set up, okay, just like the Roman roads. When we start talking about the Roman roads, imagine this with me for a while. When the Romans came in, when the Roman Empire was ruling over the Jewish people, they started building what we call the roads or Roman roads in our days right now. When Jesus died on the cross, resurrected, ascended to heaven, okay, he left a bunch of people to what? To basically start preaching the good news. It made it easier for the early missionaries to do that because of the Roman roads. So meaning to say, everything has already been set up. In short, the world was ready for the Savior. The world at that time was ready for the Lord Jesus Christ. So now let's look into the account of the shepherds here, okay, with regards to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it says here in verse 8. Look at this one. Take note of this one. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, if you look at this text right here, I want us to understand that this is basically one of the richest texts in the scripture. Okay, we can actually start and end with just this text right here. Now, first things first, look at this one. It says here, in the same region, meaning to say, it's the same region where Jesus was born. All right? And everybody knows that Jesus was born in a place called Bethlehem, right? Which simply means house of bread, okay? In the same region, there were shepherds. Can everybody say shepherds? Now, I do understand that we're not all too familiar with shepherds, but if you're reading your Bible, you would come to understand that, you know what? Stories of shepherds are just scattered all across the Bible, okay? It's just stories of David being a shepherd and things like that. Now, there were a group of shepherds out in the field. I want us to look at the field for a while, okay? Let me just state something that is already obvious. Whenever you start talking about shepherds, they're always out in the field. You can have carpenters in homes, you can have kings in castles, but whenever you start talking about shepherds, it's almost always that they're always out there in the field. Because a shepherd's job requires them to always be out there in the field. I am basically stating something that is already obvious, as what the text plainly tells us here this afternoon. Okay, it says here, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, what makes this odd or what makes this weird, okay, if you would permit me to use that, is the fact that they were out there in the field at night. You folks catch this? You see a shepherd out in the field at daytime, it's totally fine. It's normal. All right? These are not call center people. But for them to be out in the field at nighttime, that's what makes this story a little odd. Right? And I believe, you know, Luke has something to tell all of us here this afternoon regarding this one. What is my point here? Look at this one. You bring your sheep out in the field on daytime, but you keep your sheep in the sheepfold at nighttime. It's just like many of us here. You guys get to work at 8 a.m. till 5 in the afternoon, after which you need to do what? You need to go home and rest. And that is basically the logic of this one. But for Luke to say that the shepherds were out there in the field, it gives us a picture that they were working overtime. Okay, this is a picture of a field right here. Every single day, this is what they call their office. Right? That's the office of the shepherds. Imagine it with me for a while. Daytime, they're always there. Summer, they're always there. Winter, they're always there. What does that tell us? It gives us first and foremost a picture that shepherding is not a glamorous job. Right? It's like one of those things wherein your teachers might want to ask you, what do you want to do when you grow up? Anything but shepherding. I want to be a doctor. I want to be like this. I want to be a carpenter. But never a shepherd. It's so hot. Especially for Filipinos. Sayang naman yung BB cream. Now, this is a field right here. This is their normal office. Now, at nighttime, they do something with their sheep. Okay? At nighttime, all the shepherds will have the responsibility to bring all of their sheep in a sheepfold, just like this picture right here. A sheepfold basically protects the lambs and the sheep from predators. Okay, if you might want to make your own research, okay, if you might want to look into this, you would come to understand that, you know what, whenever we start talking about sheep, they're basically one of the most defenseless animals in the world. They just cannot defend themselves. I think half of the death of sheep, okay, what would account for that are predators like wolves and different kinds of beasts. That is why sheep are always dependent on their shepherds. So in the evening, take note, there's no noreco yet. In the evening, it's always dark in their place. That's why shepherds would always what lead their sheep in a sheepfold made of rocks. And then you would see that the entrance is right here. Normally, a shepherd would spend the night right here at the entrance of the sheepfold. That's how important the sheep are for them. You folks catch that? That's how much they protect the sheep. But in this instance right here, in this story right here, this is quite odd simply because it was already nighttime and yet the sheep are still out there in the field with the shepherds. So here's the question that we have in our mind right now. What were the shepherds doing with their flock in the field at night? You know, if we might want to answer that question, all we have to do is basically try to think of instances wherein the sheep and the shepherds would be out there in the field at night. For example, let's say, I mean, this is just my imagination, okay? This is not somewhere in the Bible, okay? Let's say there's a snake inside the sheepfold. So it's normal for the shepherd to bring out the sheep from the sheepfold out there in the field. If there's a predator that got in the sheepfold or there's something wrong in the sheepfold, normally the shepherd, the good shepherd, if he is good, if he loves what he's doing, will have to bring out all the sheep back into the field and settle whatever is the issue right there in the sheepfold. But of course, that is not mentioned in the Bible. The logical reason for this is very simple. I want us to catch this. The reason why the shepherds and the sheep were out there in the field in the evening was simply because it was lambing season. It was lambing season. Meaning to say, folks, look at this format. This was the time of the year or the season of the year wherein the shepherds would assist the sheep as they give birth to their lambs. You folks catch that? This is a lambing season just like this one right here. And the shepherds would always be there to assist in the delivery, to make sure that all the lambs are all well and accounted for. Now, why in the world would Luke mention these things? I want us to understand this, friends. Do you folks realize that it is just coincidental that the season of the year where lambs were born is the very season of the year when the Lamb of God was born? The season of the year when lambs were born, lambing season, was the exact season when the Lamb of God was born. And folks, look at this one. While they were working on that, while they were assisting the sheep and the lamb, here's what happened. Look at this one. In verse 9, it says here, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. All right? At nighttime. Okay? An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Not only with you. If I were a shepherd, I will feel great fear. Imagine this with me for a while. You're just assisting the delivery of your sheep. And then suddenly it was all dark, no lights whatsoever. And then suddenly an angel would show up, just like this picture right here. And suddenly an angel would show up. And the Bible was very true in saying that the shepherds felt great fear. Now look at this one. Shepherds are not the first group of people who would run away from just anything. You know for a fact, you know, they're the ones who would fight against wolves. They're the ones who's more than willing to fight against lions. But for some reason, this rough, tough, brave, courageous shepherds felt great fear. And it was the time when they had an angelic visitation in the evening. And most probably, okay, one would speculate that the angel here is the same angel who showed up to Zechariah, to Joseph, and to Mary, which is Gabriel himself. Then it says here, verse 10, here's what the angel said. And the angel said to them, okay, this is basically the message of Christmas. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you, look at this one, good news of great joy. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. First things first, I want us to understand this. Of all the people in the world, why did the angel, or why did God send the angel to show up to the shepherds? Why not to the priest? Why not to the kings? Why not even to Herod? Why not to the rich and the influential? Folks, listen. This is the message of the gospel. Look at this one. It says here, this is good news of great joy. Question, when was the last time that the lowly shepherds ever had great joy? I'm talking about a group of people who's not even allowed to go inside the temple because they are ceremonially unclean because they tend sheep for that matter. This is the message of the gospel. That his message is good news that's going to bring great joy Christmas time to people of all walks of life. You don't celebrate Christmas just because you have money. In the same manner, I want us to understand, you can actually celebrate Christmas even if you don't have money. Because this is a good news of great joy. And the great joy that we have here is that Jesus was born for our sins. And we have been saved from our sins. It's good news of great joy. And I don't know with you, you know what? The shepherds could have been thinking, man, now we're actually seeing it before our eyes. That here are the angels who's talking about the Messiah. But it says here, it is good news of great joy that will be not just for the people of Israel. It says here, but for all the people. That's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus walking along the riverbanks, he said, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God who's to take away not just the sins of Israel, but the sins of the world. Filipinos included, together with our Korean friends." I don't know with you, but do you folks realize, you know, Israel is like, I don't know, miles away from the Philippines? And we're basically recipient of what has happened there thousands of years ago. I mean, this is a good news of great joy, friends. When people say that God is unfair and stuff, like, look at this one. You read your Bible, you would come to understand God is pro-poor. In fact, if you read your Bible, God is very clear. You don't want to touch widows and poor people. Because you know that God is always for them. If you're here and you are hard up financially, I want us to understand, if you read the story of Christmas, you would see how God basically reached out for every single one of us. And here's what he said. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Now look at this one. The angel said. Look at this one. I want us to catch this. He was looking at dirty shepherds. I'm talking about a glorious angel. Gabriel himself looking at dirty shepherds. Here's what he said. "Hey guys, for unto you." Not you guys. Hindi kayo dirty. Yeah. Look at this one. "For unto you born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I don't know with you, but if you ask me, when he said Christ the Lord, the shepherds could have been thinking, "Man, could this be it?" Like what I told you, when the fullness of time has come, they have been anticipating for this. Just because they're shepherds doesn't mean that they don't have any knowledge of the Scripture. Later on, we would come to understand that they have such a deep knowledge of the Scripture. The angel started telling them, "For unto you," not from among you, "from unto you is born." This is what? A Christmas gift. "For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, and this will be a sign for you." Nagbigay pa ng sign. Ito yung clue, shepherds. Here's the clue. The clue is, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth. You folks here who are in the medical field know what a swaddling cloth is. It's like a long cloth that's used to what? To wrap babies, just like budbud. They do that to what? To strengthen the limbs. So babies are like, you know, restricted somehow to a certain degree with their movement. Not just that, the clue is, or the sign is, the baby's wrapped in swaddling cloth, meaning to say, not all babies that time are wrapped in swaddling cloth. And the baby is in a, not nursery, in a manger. You folks know the story. The baby was in a manger. Here's a picture of a baby in a swaddling cloth. It was something like that. If you would look at what a manger is actually a feeding trough or an enclosure for animals. All right? Well, you know, contrary to what we have embraced, you know, scholars would say that Jesus was born in a cave-like enclosure. Just like the ones that you see in Israel right now. Cave-like enclosure where, you know, some of the animals were kept. So that was the sign that the angel gave the shepherds. When the angel basically showed up to them. And it says here, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, look at this one. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Take note of the word Bethlehem right there. You would come to understand that the angel never mentioned Bethlehem. What the angel said was, look at this one in verse 11. Here's what he said. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," not Bethlehem. In a vernacular language during their time, when you say the city of David, people don't point to Bethlehem as the city of David. people point to Jerusalem as the city of David. There are 44 references in the Old Testament stating that Jerusalem is the city of David. The city of Jerusalem earned the moniker, the city of David, when he captured the city from the Jebusites. So what do we have here? Why is it that when the angel told them the baby is right there in the city of David, why is it that they start telling one another that they were so sure that, hey guys, we have to go to Bethlehem? Why not Jerusalem? You know what, folks? It gives us a picture. There might be 44 references to Jerusalem as the city of David, but David himself said in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, saying, when he went there in Bethlehem, he started saying, this is my city. Not just that, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says here, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, look at this one, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel. They know about Jerusalem. Look at this one. I want us to catch this. They know about Jerusalem. They are familiar with Jerusalem. It's like everyone goes to Jerusalem. Everyone loves Jerusalem. It's like Metro Manila. Everyone wants to go to Metro Manila. It's something like that. But guess what? Based on their what? Knowledge, they know for a fact. Hey, guess what, guys? Prophecies say it has to be in Bethlehem. Shepherds, ignorant? I don't think so. Shepherds, too dumb? I don't think so. It gives us one picture, friends. They know the scripture. They know the scripture. You know what? As Christians, there'll be so many revelations. You'll get to hear so many things. If you know the scripture, you know what lies in the confines in God's word. It's easier for you to basically obey God. That is basically what happened to the shepherds right here. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, and that city right there is not Jerusalem, but Bethlehem. In verse 16, it says here, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Guess what? They were right. They were right. Bible says, look at this one. They went in haste. You know what haste is? Rush. Guess what? This, my friend, is the first Christmas rush. Pumila na ba kayo sa Lee Plaza? Lately, we might want to go there. Look at this one. For some reason, men left everything behind, started going to Bethlehem. Guess what? What about the lambs? Hey, what about the lambs, shepherds? Look at this one, friends. Look at this. You know what we have here? You have here a group of poor people. A group of poor people who left behind their livelihood. Because they know for a fact that when they go there, there is something much better than what they have right now. This Christmas, friends, I want us to understand this. All risk taken to have the Christ in return are all worth it. Do you folks think they don't realize that they could actually go back to the field with virtually nothing? Wolves took everything away. Beasts took everything away. They don't care. You know why? They may lose the lamb, but they have seen the Lamb of God. Christmas time is a time to pursue. And while we're excited to pursue celebration, pursue carols, pursue gifts, I want us to understand first, I hope and pray that we will be people who will pursue Christ first before anything else. For some of you here, this is an even bigger challenge for you. Because by reading this, you know for a fact in your spirit right now that God is telling you to leave something behind and exchange it for something that is far better. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the very presence of God Himself. They left behind their own sheep and lambs being born on that night. It was crucial. It was delivery time, lambing season. Instead, to attend to the birth of the Lamb of God. Now, let me just go back to verse 8 for us as we wrap this up. This is the first verse that we've read a while ago. It says here, in the same region, where was Jesus born again? He was born in Bethlehem. Bible says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, I already told you a while ago, this was lambing season, delivery time. But there's something far more interesting about this. I want us to catch this. There's something far more interesting about this. Lambs that were born in Bethlehem are no ordinary lambs. Lambs that were born in Bethlehem are not lambs that's going to be sold in the market. Nope. There's a spiritual significance to this. There's something about the lambs in Bethlehem. Folks, look at this one. Every single shepherd know that lambs born in Bethlehem belong to the temple flock. Meaning to say, every single lamb born in Bethlehem have already been marked, reserved to be brought 8 kilometers away to Jerusalem, in the temple in Jerusalem, to be what? To be offered as a sacrifice at the feast of Passover. In short, the purpose of their birth was for them to die as a sacrifice. The moment a lamb gets born and the moment the lamb says, meh, yes, you're gonna be a sacrifice. You folks know how important sacrifice is. They tend to the lamb carefully to make sure that this is fit for sacrifice. Listen, friends, Bible says, in the same region, the Lamb of God was born. In the same instance, the Lamb of God will be brought, just like the lambs born in the field, will be brought where? 8 kilometers to Jerusalem. Will face where? In the temple. In front of the chief priests and everyone else. And guess what? Just like the lambs in the field, the Lamb of God was what? Offered as a sacrifice. Jesus was born for the same purpose the lambs were born. To die as a sacrifice. That's why John said, behold, ladies and gentlemen, the Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 7 says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for you, for us. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, it says here, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, sinless life, was offered to every single mankind for that matter. Every single one of those lambs belonged to the temple flock. In verse 12, a few more things that we're gonna end. In verse 12, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. It's quite interesting to know. I'm not over spiritualizing things. And I'm not highlighting this, but I just want us to think for a while. This is a picture of a baby in a swaddling cloth. This is how Jesus was like, wrapped in a swaddling cloth when he was born. Folks, listen. 8 kilometers away, 33 and a half years later, that same baby in a swaddling cloth was also wrapped in a cloth when he was sacrificed. Christmas story is not just about nativity. Christmas story is not just for us to feel good about the lights and the gifts and the carols and the food or the lechon. Christmas story is far deeper than that. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ our Savior was born 2,000 years ago. Cute little baby. To basically accomplish one thing, friends. And that is what we want to commemorate here this evening. To have himself sacrificed as the Lamb of God. What is amazing here is, the Bible is very clear that he is the Lamb of God. But the Bible also says that he is not just the Lamb of God, but he is also the Good Shepherd. Meaning to say, he is your sacrifice, he is also your provider. He has sacrificed himself, but he will also take care of you. He has died on the cross for every single one of us, but he assures every single one of us that he intercedes for us. Why? Because he is the Good Shepherd. Christmas time, friends, what are your problems? Take note, the Good Shepherd was born, not in vain, but to accomplish his great purpose for every single one of us. And that is to die for every single one of us. When the shepherds heard it, this is basically their response. And I believe this should be a response as well as God's people. In verse 20, this is their response. Here's what they did. The shepherds returned. Look at this one. Can everybody read this with me? The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as it had been told them. I want us to look at our life right now. The very fact that you are standing here amidst all the trials that you've been through, the very fact that you are here, the very fact that you could utter the name of Jesus, the very fact that you could worship him is more than a reason enough for us to come before his presence and worship him for what he has done and for who he is. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.